Tonight, the Predators are hosting a fan appreciation draft party tomorrow at Bridgestone Arena, starting at 4 o'clock until 10 o'clock. So if you're looking for something to do tomorrow night, wear your gold, bring some friends, and head down to Smashville. Take part in the Western Conference Champions Celebration while watching the Predators make their first-round pick, which will be the 30th pick overall in tomorrow's draft in Chicago. Plus, you can write cards, record a video to say thank you. Maybe you can do that to David Poile, congratulate him on winning General Manager of the Year, or send a message to the players, coaches. You can also take part in a public skate, tour the Predators locker room. For more details, go to thegamenashville.com under the events tab. We bring in George Plaster, future Hall of Fame broadcaster, affectionately known as Plasmo. George, what's up?
Darren, how you doing?
Good. Staying dry?
Barely.
I know. Barely is right. It's hard today. I want to ask you real quick. We had Shane Foster in studio in the second hour of the show. We also had Jordan Matthews call in. We had a lot of fun that hour, and D-Mace is going to take part in that event July 1st over at Memorial Gym. He's going to be
I might just be joining you.
Helping the MC, but the MC would be one.
Ooh.
One. Now, hold on a second. I didn't approve of Derek. I'm the MC of this event.
And you know how high my standards are.
So I just wanted to let you know you may have some help on Saturday, July 1st.
That'll be terrific. Derek, I look forward to it.
Me as well.
How cool is that, though? Because Shane Foster, and I told him when he was in here, you know, not only was he an unbelievable basketball player, he's a great human being, and he has decided to live in our city and do great things in our community.
You know, I can remember a Friday, Kevin Stallings and I went to lunch, and he was telling me about this recruit. And he said, we have got to get him to commit this weekend. He said, the big schools haven't figured it out yet. He said, but Kansas is starting to. And I always laugh about that because I've told Shane the story. He is a terrific human being.
On a somber note, I did want to ask you about the news I was reading today about former Vanderbilt basketball star Joe Ford, who's, I guess, come up missing since Monday night. Do you know anything about this?
Yeah, Darren, and I hate to report it. About 2 hours ago, they found Joe. He's dead.
Oh, boy.
They found him somewhere off of I-24, I'm assuming up in Kentucky. Ron Bargatze had called me last night and had laid out for me that he had been missing for, you know, some time, you know, two and a half days now. And I just had a bad feeling when I got off the phone with Coach B that this was not going to have a good ending. I don't pretend to know what happened. I knew Joe a little bit. I know Butch Fear and Jeff Fosnes, who were part of that F troop, better. Joe was the real serious one of the three, just a very steady player. You know, I grew up watching him. Today's kind of a sad day.
For people that don't know, George, maybe you can give the history. For people that might be more new to town, and when you say F troop, every Vanderbilt fan knows exactly who you're talking about. We're talking about an SEC championship team from 1974. Tell people a little details about that team.
Yeah, it was a team that, you know, I grew up watching, as team-oriented as you could ever find. They were the epitome of a team, and they had these three players. I think it was Waxo Green, who was a Tennessean sports writer, who gave them the nickname the F-Troop, and it stuck. And they were just a terrific trio. They led Vandy to an SEC title. Vandy then played. This was when the NCAA tournament was 16 teams, and they played Marquette under Al McGuire that year in the NCAA tournament. and I pretty much snuck out of school, and my mom and dad took me to Tuscaloosa. So, BGA, I'm sorry. I may not have totally told the truth.
And, of course, Jan Van Bredekhoff was a great player on that Vanderbilt team. Maurice Lucas, is that right, George, would have been playing for Marquette at
Maurice
that time?
Maurice Lucas, Earl Tatum, McGuire's son, Allie McGuire, was part of that. This is just, for some of us who can go back a ways, this news is just absolutely shocking.
I believe he was from, Mayfield, Kentucky?
Mayfield, Kentucky, yeah.
Well, I'm sorry. I did not. I had not seen anything on a follow up on that. I just was reading that this morning that he was missing.
Darren, I don't know. I don't know if it's been released or not. Coach Bargatze got with me about 11:15 to let me know, and that's why I know.
Very, very sad. You know, we were talking earlier. Derek Carr has signed a $25 million deal per year with the Oakland Raiders. That makes him the highest paid player and quarterback in the league. Andrew Luck makes $24.6 million. Drew Brees $24.25 million. Kirk Cousins $23.9 million under the current contract that he's in. Joe Flacco just over $22 million, $22.1 million, and Aaron Rodgers is right at $22 million, which is crazy. Tom Brady not even mentioned on that list. The reason I'm bringing this up is because the day is coming for the Titans when it's going to be time for that second contract for Mariota in a couple of years. Or I guess after next year will be his fourth year. Not this season, will be his third. The following year will be going into his fourth.
Well, they technically really got
final year.
3 years left before they have to deal, because next year will be his last, and then an option year, and then they have, obviously, they have the franchise tag. They can tag him a year, which they probably end up doing because Taylor Lewan is up to
4 years plus an option.
Yeah.
So they're going to be, they're going to want to be out in front of this. What do you think is going to be the number for Mariota when it's that time?
Gosh, it may be in the 30s. Marcus, if you're listening, I would really like to be your agent.
Do you need help if you get that job?
I can live on the crumbs. you know, the sky may be the limit on that thing, Darren. Now, he's got to stay healthy. You know, that will be the knock on him right now, is that, you know, he's got to stay healthy for a full year. And a lot more of that is luck, you know, as opposed to anything else, because he certainly has, you know, as good a mobility as any quarterback you listed in that group. But that's the cold, hard reality is, you know, the ability to get that number, that kind of number you just brought up, he's got to stay healthy.
Andrew Luck has been to a conference championship game. Drew Brees has won a Super Bowl. Joe Flacco's won a Super Bowl. Aaron Rodgers won a Super Bowl. Kirk Cousins has not. So Kirk Cousins is the only one that really hasn't had huge amounts of success. But for the Redskins standards, he's had pretty much a lot of success. Derek Carr was unable to play in the playoff game last year in their loss to the Texans. You do wonder if Mariota finds a way to have success next year, and or this upcoming season, and they win the division and they're playing January football, and let's just say they make a run, he gets any part of that into the equation, then we're really talking about a monster number for him when it's time.
Yes, and then I really want to be his agent.
No question about it. All right, flip this thing over to Derek and Willie when we come back. More with George Plaster on the other side of 3D. I want to talk to you about Cool Springs MD. Dr. Jeffrey Lodge, the board-certified physician, and Daphne Lodge, the registered nurse. They are the dynamic duo that runs Cool Springs MD, and they've been around for over 20 years in business, serving a lot of you, making you healthier, happier, and a more beautiful you, including me. And they do have a team of doctors and nurses and counselors there that will sit down with you and find out, what do they need to address? Is it one thing? Is it multiple things? The good news is if it's multiple things, they can tackle that as well. Weight loss management, perfectly fine. They have a trainer there on site with their own room. They have programs. They can get you headed in the right direction immediately. Natural hormone replacement therapy, not sure what I'm talking about. Well, maybe you've never looked into this, but you also know that something's going on with you. You're not feeling very motivated. You've been really sluggish. You don't even want to work out. You don't want to do anything. that's not like you. Well, there could be something going on there. Or you've been experiencing highs and lows. Talk to them. That could be a real game changer for you. Cosmetic procedures, preventative maintenance, skin rejuvenation, or just your general wellness. They do it all under one state-of-the-art roof. 1642 Westgate Circle, Suite 100 in Brentwood. Right off 65 next to Shogun Restaurant. You're going to walk in there and feel at ease immediately. CoolSpringsMD.com to find out everything you need to know about them on their website. That number to make that appointment like I've done, 690-6600. That's 615-690-6600. Make that appointment and go see the fine folks at Cool Springs MD. What teams will be living on a prayer tonight? NBA draft. Does anybody trust the Sixers?
Yeah.
Not nope. Me.
If I'm somebody, I wouldn't want to go to the Sixers.
Is there light at the end of the tunnel for them?
I don't trust their process.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I wind up twisting an ankle and out for the whole year.
Good luck to Fultz.
Absolutely. Absolutely. George, we had a chance, obviously, to have Shane on early, and we talked about, you know, his process, what his experience like. What was his experience going through that whole NBA thing and getting drafted and whatnot? Fast forward, you look at Luke and what Luke was able to do throughout his career there at Vanderbilt. And this year in particular, I watched him, got a chance to watch him a lot, as you did, his years, all of his years there at Vandy. And he made himself more of a defensive player this year than any other year, and he excelled at it. How do you see this going for Luke? Do you think he gets drafted? And then two, from what you've seen of him and you've covered the sport, you've talked about the sport, how do you think his skill set translate possibly to the NBA?
Man, that is a great question because there are so many variables about him that are up in the air. Big old 7'1 guy who can go out and shoot threes. You're right, at the end of last season, he started to become a real shot-blocking presence that to a level that he had not been before in his years at Vandy. He's not a very good post-up player, and I think he'll get graded down a little bit on that. But Willie, help me with this. I think there's going to be a team that's going to be really intrigued by him just because this is a league that even Patrick Ewing had to learn how to go out and shoot 15 to 17 footers. And, you know, Luke's already got that.
No question.
If a team understands that he really doesn't have a post-up game, then and they can live with that, then, hey, he might really turn some heads.
We were kicking this around with Shane Foster. There's a lot of teams that they don't really have a post-up game. They're not worried about it if people don't post up. It's just less of a part of the game as it used to be. But we talked to Lee Jenkins. We talked to Chris Dortch. I was talking to some Vanderbilt people about this last week. It seems mixed whether he's going to get picked. If you look at the mock drafts, there are some that have him in, some mm-hmm. that don't have him in. So I think it's up in the air whether he gets picked to that or not. But, of course, if he doesn't get picked, it doesn't mean that he wouldn't make a roster. I just think he's got a lot to bring to the table.
Well, here's the bottom line is he's going to have a chance to make an NBA roster. And you raise a good point about what's the importance of the center position. I would make the claim that you could put me at center for Golden State and they'd make the Western Conference Finals. I mean, Zsa Zsa Pachulia is not exactly Wilt Chamberlain. And, you know, They didn't bat an eye. You know, he's a very mediocre journeyman center who played a lot of minutes for them. And, shoot, they didn't miss a beat with him.
George, you know, we're talking about some historical people. Just circling back with you, you reported earlier, and I don't, Darren was just checking. We do not think this has been released yet, but
no.
Joe Ford, the former F Troop member, Vanderbilt basketball player, you say has passed away. Unfortunately, the report was he's been missing. You're always hopeful when you see that,
right,
that there's still a chance that it will turn out all right. That has not been the case. But repeat for people that didn't hear you at noon what you found out.
Well, Coach Bargatze sent me a text telling me that they don't have a lot of details, but that Joe's body was found somewhere just off of I-24 up in Kentucky. And that is about the extent of the details that I've got right now.
And unfortunately, it's been a tough week because, again, as a guy that learned a lot, at least from where I was sitting, about the foundation, the nuts and bolts of the sports community in Nashville, we lost another one earlier this week in Jim Fike, who, if people can go back on the show, they'll remember us talking about him a lot. But just a great person.
Yeah.
A guy that was instrumental sort of behind the scenes working for then Mayor Bredesen in the Metro Parks and Recreation, did a lot of things behind the scenes to help our sports community.
Willie, I went to see him about a month and a half ago, I guess. Well, be closer to a month ago. And I took him the shirt that the Predators gave out, I think, in the first playoff game, which was, I'll sleep when the playoffs are over.
Right.
He was really fired up to get that, and we spent – Jim was a huge Atlanta Braves fan. Maybe the only person that I would grudgingly admit may have been a bigger fan than me. So I'm going to tell you a funny story about him. In 91, I took him to Game 4 of the World Series. Nick Hunter, our beloved Nick Hunter, would get us the tickets through whatever team he had conned into getting tickets. And so that night, as we're driving down, Jim looks at me and he says, "I can die and go to heaven. I'm getting to see my team in a World Series." And it was, it was genuine. It was heartfelt. But there was also a cynical side, or at least there was when I would deal with him, where he'd be all over me. Well, the next year, Nick got us tickets for the divisional playoff series between the Braves and the Pirates, and we were on the top row of the upper deck in the outfield behind the mesh of the foul pole. I mean, we're looking straight into that mesh. Well, the blimp that they were using as part of the telecast comes flying over Atlanta Stadium about the fourth inning. And Jim turns to his wife, Becky, and says, "Becky, see that blimp?" She says, "Yeah." And he says, "Those people up there have a better view of this than we do." And I turned to him and I said, "Wow." I said, "All that sincerity of a year ago is gone away."
He had such a great sense of humor like that. He was one of the best at Ribbon. What I really loved about him, too, is not just all this great work he was doing, but like you said, he was a baseball fan, no connection with hockey, really, but he and Becky really did become big Predator fans. They jumped in, they learned about it, and they loved going down there.
Willie, he's just one of my all-time favorites. I am absolutely crushed at what I've heard, because when I went to see him the last time, I really didn't think this is how this was going to turn out. And by the way, kudos to the Tennessean on the article they did on him.
They did a great article.
Man, they did. They captured it really well. I know the sports side of him more than I do the government side, but suffice it to say that guy took less and made more out of what he was given resources-wise for the Metro Parks and Recreations than anybody could imagine. Wonderful human being.
Made his mark on this city for sure. So let's ask a question in his honor here, George, for you as a Braves fan. Mm-hmm. Matt Adams, of course, is crushing the ball, replacing Freddie Freeman, who's been hurt. So the Braves are looking at Freddie Freeman as a third baseman. Do you think that could work?
Willie, I don't have a clue, but it's funny. Jeff Francoeur's become part of their broadcast team. And, I've taken some notes for him on the first couple, three broadcasts that he had. And Sunday I texted him and I said, "Hey, the next game you do, I want you to bring up on the air, what should the Braves do with Matt Adams?" I said, because it's reached a point where it's got to get discussed. Does he have the athletic ability to move to another position, or is this just a dead deal? Well, I never dreamed the answer was that Freddie Freeman would pop up and say, "I'm moving to third." If he pulls this off where he is just halfway decent, that team will have gotten so much better. It's not even funny. I mean, their lineup at that point becomes, you know, a pretty tough lineup where it really hasn't had that over the last couple of years. And then there's Bartolo.
Who's old. And a little heavy.
Yeah, and let's just suffice it to say for right now, that little experiment is not working.
It's not gone well.
Or as Jordan Matthews said earlier today, this guy just looks at a buffet and gets bigger.
Oh, my God. You know, they're always showing these signs of him working out in the off season and sweating. And I don't know. It just doesn't seem to do much.
He should try not working out. Maybe that'll work out better.
And let me also say that the same could be said about me.
Have you, as we wrap this up, have you followed this kind of the latest round of the Vanderbilt rape trial? You know, Brandon Banks was on the stand.
Yeah.
Have you followed it at all?
Oh, yeah. This thing about I was bullied into, it is not going to work. I mean, if that's their defense, God bless them. It's not going to work.
Yeah, we were kind of talking about this more off the air. Kind of feel like they realized the I was drunk defense didn't work, so had to come up with something else.
Right. Once the tapes came out, I don't think there is any defense.
Yeah.
This is. It seems to me this is a you can't defend, you know, case.
And to be honest, I don't know if you caught this part of it. It did grab our attention. It seemed like Banks was throwing Franklin under the bus yesterday.
Yeah, and that has been, you know, for conspiracy theorists, that has always been sort of a deal that we've never quite seen taken to its ending. And, you know, it doesn't seem like anybody has ever said, okay, you've put this out here. Now, what exactly do you mean by this? And, you know, because we don't know. We've had little nuggets, but nothing that you could ever say, oh, wow, or, hey, there's nothing to this. But it keeps popping up, and you do wonder if there's going to come a point where somebody's going to say more.
George, good stuff as always. Appreciate it. Have a great rest of your week. We'll do it again next week.
Darren, you all as well. Willie, have a safe trip to Chicago.
I will. Thank you.
Take care.
George Plaster joins us every Thursday at 1 o'clock, and he just made some news on our show. We'll discuss that and more coming up next on 3D.